Hello, and welcome to Columboys, a podcast all about the wide-brimmed, mysteriously vanishing, gold-lame world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and with me, as always, is Ben. We made it through season one.
Hey!
Hey, only 12 more seasons to go.
Oh, 12?
12. This week, we're taking a look at season one, episode 7, Blueprint for Murder. This episode is the last television show to feature an architect where their profession actually plays into the plot somehow. Because, like, people are just architects now, and it has nothing to do with anything.
Oh, okay.
This week, as the unfortunate victim, is Forrest Tucker, a veteran character actor and the star of The Crawling Eye, the very first movie to be featured on an episode of Mystery Science Theater.
Was that the local
No,
public
it excludes the KTMO... KTMA episodes, please. Okay. Don't write in nerds. However,
yeah, we got it. We know what Wikipedia
is. Don't worry.
You're welcome.
We got it. However, grabbing and running away with the episode is Janice Page as the victim's ex-wife, Goldie, who kicks off the murder investigation. I didn't find any particularly interesting trivia about her, but she is great.
She's great in the episode.
Yeah, she's really great.
Yeah.
This episode carries the distinction of being the sole directing credit by Columbo himself, Peter Falk. The first season of Columbo is gone, but it leaves behind a legacy of 12 more goddamn seasons of Columbo.
Man, but that's kind of great that he got to end the first season by directing one.
So he
even
has.
Even if he never did that again.
He has an uncredited directing thing for the next episode, the first season of two, which also stars John Cassavetes, who also has a director's credit on that, which is a little weird. But
yeah, that's a little odd.
Yeah,
I mean, in fairness,
couldn't find any information on that. So this is his sole credited directorial role.
I mean, that could also be Guild stuff too,
maybe,
because sometimes you see that where like that. I think that happened with jump series to The Prisoner, but I know that there were things I think written or directed under the name like Patty Fitz, and that's actually just McGoohan.
Patrick McGoohan.
Yeah.
Well, he writes and directs several of the later Columbos. Yeah.
Wait, McGoohan or
McGoohan?
Falk? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew you mentioned before that he was coming.
He's going to be a returning villain, but he does direct and not to jump ahead, but to give a little preview, things go bad for Columbo in the 80s. There's going to be some rough patches that we're going to have to get through. It's fine. We will. But Patrick McGoohan comes in with a written and directed episode and basically takes Columbo and brings it back to normal. So he's going to be our constant.
Oh, Mac.
So Patrick
McGoohan
will
cry a lot when that happens. That's really exciting.
Patrick McGoohan will save Columbo.
Aww.
This week's episode, season one, episode 7, Blueprint for Murder. This is the 9th Columbo thing that has come out, excluding the original and the stage play. This is the 9th Peter Falk Columbo. We should probably do the quick run through.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's reasonable to. It's pretty good. Okay, well, I know we have to do that, but let me just.
No.
Sorry.
I refuse. I'm not going to allow you to
listen,
do it
this
time.
This
you
how
always
this is going.
Hijack the intro to the quick
but I just
brief
wanna
intro.
Get, because let's be real. I mean, do you listen to us for our quick recaps?
Yes.
Okay.
People love them.
Okay, well then, all right.
I've gotten.
So,
thousands of emails.
Oh, okay.
I've gotten more emails than we've had downloads of the episode.
Oh,
people specifically
weird.
Saying they like the quick recaps. I don't know.
Are we a bad meme now? Mac, I'm afraid to look on the internet.
Listen, we're all a bad meme now.
Oh, God.
The world is a bad meme now.
That's too real.
That's my update of the Smashing Pumpkins.
All right,
song.
I'm bummed out now. We're gonna. That's it. Shortest episode ever. We're done. No.
Okay. Do your thing. All right. Fine. I cede control of the podcast.
You're so busy pushing back. I was conceding. I was going to do the brief rundown, but now.
Are we doing it or are we not doing it?
Well,
Ben?
We have to do it.
Okay,
now
we're doing it. Okay, so
I feel like an asshole.
Quick rundown is an architect, and there's a rich billionaire. I'm not entirely sure where he got his money from.
Billionaire. Okay, here's the important
part
of that.
I'm going to say oil billionaire.
Yeah, he drives a big car.
Yep.
He wears a big hat.
Big old bull. Yep.
He wears a Western suit,
mm-hmm.
and he wears cowboy boots.
That's right.
So it's probably oil.
Probably oil. But his new wife,
Right. His second wife.
Yes, has fallen in with this architect who's kind of a bit of a, seems like maybe a bit of a schemer.
Well, he seems like he's presented to us as a brilliant mind,
right,
but not a practical one.
Right. So he has managed to convince this man's wife to finance a Williamson City. The yeah. guy's name is Williamson.
You've seen the
millionaires.
Right. Yeah. The millionaires, yeah, Bo Williamson. And so right. it's named after him, and it's this entire planned city, planned and designed by a single architect. So, right. you know, like if you've seen The Truman Show, basically
sure.
that.
Sure. But yes, yeah, so he's sort of convinced the wife that they should bankroll this. However, she has done it without the knowledge of Williamson.
Because he was in Europe.
He was in Europe.
And completely out of touch.
Couldn't get in touch with them. It's impossible to get in touch with someone if they're in Europe.
Yep. They go to Europe, they may as well be dead.
Exactly. Like the earlier episode where the murderer went to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
That's the very first one.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he was incommunicado because he was on a boat in Mexico.
Because that's how that works.
That's how it works.
Yep.
I don't think that's even how that worked back then. I'm pretty sure that, like... you could get a cable or something to Europe. Like, didn't they have transcontinental cables at that point?
No, for sure.
There was definitely a way to get in contact.
You could.
Yeah.
If you were really, if you needed to be in touch, you could certainly
get
in touch.
And if you were really rich, you definitely could.
Also that. And, you know, but oil barons, they don't have any money.
Yeah. No, apparently he has enough to finance an entire city somehow.
Yeah, but he doesn't wanna.
No, he does not want to. He's definitely against this idea.
Yeah, in fact, he goes in and he smashes the
model.
Yep.
He tells the architect, "There's no way that this is gonna happen. Don't talk to me or my wife ever again."
Yep.
And then the guy murders him.
Yeah. Well, hides in his car.
Hides in his car,
which is creepy.
Murders him and then puts his body into a storage shed.
Yeah, in a storage shed.
It's one of the few Columbos where we don't actually see the murder happen.
And that's the thing that I was going to talk about. That's the thing that really excited me was I realized there is a bit of ambiguity. Past,
yeah.
We got past the sort of intro part where it's like, oh, dude was killed and then stuff happened and whatever. And
right.
Columbo shows up.
Yeah.
And then I realized... we never saw how he died.
You don't see the body. You don't know for certain that he is dead.
Right. It's insinuated it's because
definitely,
there's
yes.
a pistol involved.
Definitely implied.
But we don't hear a gunshot.
Nope.
There's never anything like that. And so they gave us a mystery to chew on.
A little bit, yeah.
But it wasn't...
But it is a Columbo-style mystery because it's very clear whatever happened to this guy, whether he's tied up or
we
whether
still
he's
know who did
killed
it.
Or whatever.
And it's
it definitely is this guy.
Well, it's Columbo, so we know that somebody died.
Well,
probably.
Yes, probably.
At this point?
Yes, at this point for sure.
At this point, if I were watching this when they were airing on TV, I would have made the assumption that someone died because somebody died in all the others.
So I'm going through my mental Rolodex of Columbo, and there is an episode where there is not a murder.
Oh, and that's exciting.
But it's a bad episode.
Oh, well, that's less exciting.
it's one of the 80s ones. It's a like a psychological thriller. It's adapted from a non-Columbo book.
Oh.
There are a couple of those where they basically took a non-Columbo book
and kind of jammed a Peter Falk in there and said,
pretty much.
"Hey, this will work."
Yeah, and they don't really.
That never works. Don't don't do that. Just because you like Peter Falk doesn't mean you should jam him into your pre-existing unrelated mystery novel.
It's a good tip for all you writers out there.
Just saying.
He goes back to Williamson's house.
Yep.
He takes his suitcase and stuff and disposes of it somehow. It's not important. It doesn't show up again.
Well, disposes of it, does something. I mean, just removes it from the house at the very least.
Right. But it's meant to be assumed. He probably like threw it in a dumpster somewhere or something like that. It's gone.
Yeah.
The implication is that he has gone off on another business trip. Apparently this is not remarkable enough that his wife is like,
his car is found at the airport,
right
and so it's, oh, he must be back in Europe and he's out of touch.
Yep. This is apparently something that he does regularly enough. He took his passport with him that his new wife doesn't seem to be concerned. However, his old wife immediately assumes the worst and calls the police, which is how Columbo gets involved.
Right.
Goldie, mm-hmm. she's great.
She's awesome.
She's bold and brassy.
Yeah.
She's nicknamed Goldie, I think, because she wears so much gold lame. I think that's her name.
No, she says exactly that. Yeah.
But she tells Columbo, who she insists calls her Goldie, because she says, we're friends. My friends call me Goldie.
Or you better be my friend because you're standing in front of me while I'm half naked.
Right, because she was getting a massage when she's introduced.
Yes. So by a clearly not Japanese lady speaking who does, broken Japanese.
Well, who has some ADR Japanese lines, I think, inserted over the top.
Yeah. No, that's...
So she is convinced that he must be dead because he always called her before he went overseas, and the wife didn't know about it. Because they were married 22 years, and she has a much more in-depth relationship.
Well,
she has a much more, what she says, like a personal thing.
Well, they don't have any kids, and they spend a lot of time together, so they know each other very well.
And
the new wife, as she put it, is, he wanted a younger model, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that he didn't call, also there's the matter of a doctor's appointment we later find out was to replace the batteries in his pacemaker,
which he needs to do annually
or he'll die.
Heartbeat.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a very serious thing that's left hanging. It's another sort of notch in Columbo's quiver.
This dude's probably dead.
Yes, he's building this case, and he figures out through multiple things that it's likely that the guy buried the body inside one of the pile. They call it a pile.
They say it's a pile. It's part of the foundation of a building.
Right.
It's like a concrete pour that is a huge, like, I guess they frame out a big sort of flat space under the dirt, and then they pour the concrete into it.
It's to act as like a solid foundation for this building. And by the way, when they pull it out of the ground, it doesn't look like it could support the kind of building that they obviously the as big a one as they could afford to build and then destroy.
Tear apart. Yeah, absolutely.
But it definitely is like pull up and you're like, The construction site that they're on is a skyscraper hole.
It's huge, yeah.
But this one is for like a maybe like a three story, like a very small kind of construction. So whatever, that's not what this is about.
But
so he convinces Columbo that he should dig up the pile, which they do.
Yeah, he basically says, well, I mean, if I was going to murder anybody, that would be the perfect place to put the body.
There's a scene where he references the pharaohs sealing the architects of the pyramids in with the pharaohs when they died so that their secrets would never be revealed. Columbo says, if I wanted to dispose of a body, I'd put it somewhere like that, somewhere where no one could find it. And the guy basically leans into it and lets him think that.
Yes.
And the reason for that is that he wants him to dig it up to prove that the body's not there.
And then
he's going to come back and dispose of the body afterwards. Because it was very expensive and a huge hassle. And it was very publicly embarrassing that nothing was found there because there was a news crew there.
Right. Which is exactly why, Markham, the architect, brought the news crew in. By the way... Sweet ass outfit.
Yeah, let's talk for a second about this fucking jetpack. What is this thing?
I have never seen anything like that, Mac, and I want one so badly now.
Mobile news camera, and it's like a Ghostbusters style backpack.
Yeah.
He's got this giant crazy backpack on the back, and then he's got
Metal, and then
a camera gun. That's what it looks like.
Camera's in the same like metal framing, but then the front is very clearly like a normal kind of camera lens.
Right.
And that coupled with the fact that he's got this metal ducting in it to give him a viewfinder. Yeah,
and
there's like a real nice kind of curve to that metal.
It's very 1970s, but also like future.
Yeah, but it's like
weird.
The best of like 1970s era sci-fi futurism.
Yes.
I'm really into it.
It's really cool.
He's in a number of shots.
I'd be interested to do a little research afterwards. We're recording this just after we watch it. We haven't really had a chance to ingest
so
it. So
we'll probably wind up going.
Yeah, but it's very cool. I recommend.
I hope it's real.
Yeah.
I hope it's a real weird thing.
You know, it's so weird that it has to be real.
I hope
because it's so involved.
Yeah.
Like if it was just going to be a camera, they would just bring like a, they would just take a film camera from somewhere else and use that.
Right. And they would just use that and they would
put, so this like, has to be a real, or either a real thing or a prop for something else, I guess.
My hope is that it's a real thing and that I can set up an eBay alert.
I'm sure it's incredibly expensive.
Oh yeah.
It has to be. If there are any that still exist.
There's I'm one sure that still exists and it's in Paul Allen's private collection.
And it's like literally priceless. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
But yeah, so then he gets caught.
He gets caught bringing the body back. And he says, "How did you know? How did you know that it was me? It was pretty much a perfect murder." And Columbo zeroes in on the thing that it was laid down earlier, which is that the murdered man was a Texan. He was a country and western guy, even though he doesn't sound Texan.
There's no
sense of a drawl.
It's just all his dress.
Yeah,
it's how he's
dressed.
There's
a lot of wardrobes doing a lot of work on this one.
Yeah,
but so he's a big country music, country
that's
and western.
Literally all he listens
that's
to.
All he listens
all his
to.
Records at home are all country and western.
Yeah, but when Columbo got in the car, there was a tape in the deck for country music, but the radio was tuned to classical.
And so, then that's what was in the architect's.
Yep. He office. Loves listening to classical music. It calms him down.
Yep.
So Columbo just used that, but that's like nothing. So he had to build a case.
Yeah. It's completely like circumstantial. Like, but I mean, that's always the way that it goes.
That's how it goes. Like, he finds the little thread that leads him through the
pulls and pulls and pulls. And then instead of a sweater, it's just a pile of trash on the floor.
This is a really great episode to end the first season on.
I really like the fact that they didn't show us the murder and they never showed us the body, and they just gave us that to chew on.
You see like a burlap sack basically.
Yeah. And it's really not, it's just really nice that like they give you some, because you know by this point, even, you know, like you've seen, if you've been watching the show, you know, this is like the seventh time probably that you've seen Columbo go toe-to-toe with some murderer. And this is like the first time where you legit get to go chew on something.
Yeah.
Because you've gotten, you know, because it's easy. Because I've gotten acclimated to the fact that it's like, I know he's going to get him.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the fun of the show is I don't have to sweat that. But being able to sweat a different thing
that
fundamentally doesn't mean like, oh, the bad person's going to get away. It's just... it's just a neat, like, ooh, can I guess how this...
Yeah, there are stakes in this episode.
Yeah.
That there aren't necessarily in other ones. Like, Columbo has kind of put his career on the line. Like, if he did this thing and cost the city a considerable sum, they never actually state
what it is.
Yeah,
they don't name it, but it's probably bad.
It's probably, like, a couple thousand, like, in 70s dollars, like...
Well, you figure like it's at least an entire day's worth of labor for the construction crew.
Yep.
Not to mention, like... rental of the crane
plus replacement of the of the stuff the city I'm sure had to pay back all of the materials that they used and
time lost and etc.
Sure it's thousands and thousands of dollars at that point.
But he's
he's doing it as a feint too. And the entire time that it's
like
happening,
he even says that he's like playing into his hands because he knew like he was he was coming on too strong about it and he had to just play along and see where it went.
But it is interesting because it does give you also sort of insight. Like Columbo is an actor.
Yeah.
Like beyond Peter Falk, Columbo is an actor. He's a he sits there the entire time while they're doing this thing at just like rubbing his head and like looking incredibly nervous.
Yeah.
But he's not nervous because I think at that point he's pretty confident they're not going to find something.
Oh yeah.
But I think at the same time he's also kind of worried that they will find something.
Yeah.
Because I think honestly the truth is that if they had found him murdered there, I don't know that there's enough evidence to convict the guy.
Right.
Based on what they've got there, because
not in the 1970s.
Because what they've got essentially is a body.
Yeah.
So they know that someone killed him and they know he was arguing with that guy, but they don't have the connect, like,
right.
It certainly would be enough to maybe have a prosecutor prosecute it, but who knows?
He doesn't
have him dead to rights.
Yeah. It's not lock, stock and barrel.
Yeah. And also, I think it's a really kind of...
Yeah, it's real solid, because there's even the nice thing about that Williamson's, Mrs. Williamson, the second wife, is playing tennis with Markham, who is in way too many layers. I mean, she is basically not wearing pants at all.
Right. He's doing the 1970s dude thing, which was you always had a jacket on.
Yeah, you always had a jacket. No matter the situation. You always had long pants on.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
the You couldn't wear shorts. You couldn't wear. You couldn't just be in like a shirt.
Yeah.
It was not allowed in the
1970s. Well, and so she finds one of Beau's hats with blood all over it, just kind of, you know, in the bushes.
The reason for the deception about the overseas thing, which we didn't explain, which is actually a very large plot point, but the reason for the overseas deception is that he has to be gone.
Oh, his will, yeah.
His will states that if he dies, his wife, his new wife, doesn't get anything.
No, yeah.
But his old wife gets
25%.
A fourth of his estate.
Yeah. And everything else goes into basically an escrow. It goes into a trust fund.
Right.
And then his second wife gets dividends, gets payout,
right,
interest on an annual basis, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so,
which is plenty for her to live
right
completely comfortably for the rest of her life, but not enough to fund Williamson City.
To fund building an entire city from scratch.
Right. And I guess the idea being that she would pay for all this stuff before it became obvious that he was dead. He was like declared legally dead, which I think actually does take like years for someone to, like, without a body to declare someone
dead.
It does. It's very difficult.
Certainly long enough that they could get through
the money.
They could get through signing off on that project.
Right.
It's
certainly his best shot at it.
Right. And that's the whole reason that Markham doesn't want him to be declared dead, doesn't want the body to be found,
right,
you know, and is like, oh, I'm sure he's just over in Europe, I'm sure it's fine,
yeah,
because he wants to build his big vanity project.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, messing up the timeline is like, I think, tool one for Columbo murderers, like, they always want to like make it seem like the person is still alive somehow through some elaborate means.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's part of your, you know, it's like messing up the timeline, having a good alibi,
right?
Not going toe-to-toe with Columbo, not assuming that you're smarter than Columbo,
yeah,
like keeping your damn mouth shut. Yeah, there are like so many things you could do to improve your chances, I guess.
It's interesting. So in this season, it's not as bad because we can assume that he's not super well known at this point, like,
right,
like you could say that maybe at the beginning of this thing he's recently been promoted to lieutenant,
right,
from, you know, you could say like in the first couple maybe he's a recent,
yeah,
you know, thing, he was a beat cop at some point, he was a, you know, a part of homicide,
right,
and
right,
now he's recently been promoted.
But even in this first season
he's done 7 extremely high profile cases
and knocked them out of the park. And even in the first couple, when he goes toe-to-toe with people, the captain's always got his back. So
right,
there's some level of awareness of, like,
I think
Columbo's a weirdo, but Columbo knows police work.
You definitely see that from the other officers in this episode. Like, when he's sitting in the car listening to the music, all he's doing in that scene, which is actually kind of a great scene.
Oh, it's,
but,
it's very good.
It's he's just sitting in the car. He's just listening to music.
Yeah.
And then outside the car are, like, 6 or 7, like a lot of officers, who have discovered this car at the airport, just sitting around
looking
watching
at each other, being impatient with Columbo.
Right.
Yeah.
So obviously I think among the rank and file, he probably is still seen as like a weirdo and like frustrating to work
with. Absolutely.
I think everybody sort of recognizes that he's very good, but also like if somebody's like, oh, you're working with Columbo, you'd be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you're assigned to
all
Columbo
right
this week.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I hope I'm there for the finale at least, because then I get like a cool payoff. But
well, then I get to like hide in the dark while somebody incriminates themselves.
Yeah, and, yeah, there is a thing. He does pull in and then everybody just kind of like jumps out like, hey.
Yeah, literally like they turn on the lights in the entire construction site in the middle of the night, and there are like six people hanging out with Columbo.
They sort of
like,
throw a murder surprise party for this guy. Just like hanging out on this dig site, and then they like pop out and go like, surprise!
You're guilty!
You're guilty!
Yeah. Thanks for bringing us the body.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's...
I also really enjoyed Bureaucracy, the sketch.
Yes, there's kind of a bit of a Brazil kind of thing. Columbo needs to go to the building department and get... It's kind of pointless and doesn't really... Yeah. It does not really advance the plot at all.
It's filler, but it's also just an excuse for Peter Falk to be Peter Falk.
Yeah, to be adorable and to just like walk around looking confused.
Because it's kind of... It's sort of meant to be a comic relief thing, but it is him just going to ask about like the permits and everything he needs. And it's just an excuse for him to get bounced around between... Yeah. Bureaucratic lines.
It's just an excuse to say like, wow, isn't government so wasteful and inefficient?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, here's that punching bag that everybody always uses. Yeah. We're also
I
using
hate
it.
Going to the DMV.
But I mean, hey, which do you find more egregious, that or the concrete dad joke?
I think it's fine. I mean,
I like both.
Like,
in
the long history of Columbo saying something to suspect that makes no goddamn sense, except in the case of like murder, I think it's fine. He's such a fucking ham.
Oh yeah,
like he's always trying to like get their goat in the dumbest way possible.
Yes.
So
he's always deliberately trying to
in that way. Yeah. So at one point he says, oh, I need something a little more
concrete.
Meaning the player. He's gonna get him.
No, it's great. No, I'd rather that than like at the very end when it's like they make a like what amounts to basically a country and city don't mix.
Yeah.
Kind of crack about, you know,
Nashville and Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, and those two don't go together. And then the architect is like, no, they don't. And it's meant to be like, this guy with these, you know, refined tastes and this crude Texan. And it's like, oh, come on, man.
We have no evidence to prove that he was crude other than he was kind of a jerk.
No, but that's like, that's the insinuation.
I mean, that's the insinuation.
Right.
True.
And that's,
Yeah.
I mean, it's a trope, but also it's, a, you know, 70s. I don't know how big a trope it was at that point. But yeah, I'm trying to think of there's some kind of incredible clothing. Goldie really has some great outfits.
Goldie
she's got some knockout stuff.
Has some really great stuff. It's a lot of LeMay.
Yeah,
living up to her name, but it's also a lot of like weird. What do you call that when it's like a different colors based on where the light is?
Oh, I'm sure there's a. Well, I know like a gradient, you know, like is like an ombre.
It's not an ombre.
No,
it's
I don't know. I always want to call it chromatic, but I'm not. I don't.
Yeah,
think that that's necessarily
it.
But it's that. Yeah, that kind of shimmer.
Yes. So but she's got like this red outfit that like has a bit of like the color is a little different based on where you look.
Right.
And you know, all kinds of things. She's always on point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the
like
thing
even
like,
starting with her robe in the first scene.
It's
very
robe.
Sparkly. It's got like a blue and gold belt that's like different, like blue on one side and gold on the other.
They really went all out with it.
Yes.
Williamson actually has some interesting stuff in his wardrobe. It's not stuff where I would be like, oh, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. But it's just like, it's very clear, like it's good costuming, it's good characterization, you know, because he shows up and he's got the biggest damn like 10-gallon hat. Yeah. And then he's wearing a Western suit. So like it's got that Western back to it. The pockets have those kind of like military flaps that have the sort of, you know, scoop and points to them.
Sure.
And... You know, and it's got all of that stuff, but it is otherwise a suit. And then again, the cowboy boots.
And then he's wearing like a white, it's almost like a shearling coat, but it's not. Like the outside of it isn't.
Well, so it's kind of shearling, but it's like, so it's like a parka or a belted safari jacket. Mm. And it looks kind of normal through all that. But then the collar is folded out and is a huge 70s collar.
Yeah.
But then instead of, usually when you see shearling, it's pretty short
Yeah, and and dense.
Yeah, and very dense. And his is long. Like, they didn't shear the sheep at all.
Or, like, it's been combed out or something like that somehow.
Because it's definitely got curly locks.
Yeah.
Like, it was extremely noticeable. And it's an awesome jacket. Not a jacket I would expect someone to be wearing in Southern California.
Oh, everybody looks incredibly hot in this thing.
Yeah.
Like, Goldie's the only one who's dressed appropriately because she's wearing a lot of, like, short sleeves. And but, yeah, definitely this dude and, well, he's out at that horse ranch, which looks like it might be in the valley, so maybe it's a little cooler.
Maybe it's chilly, and that's a reason why, but still, it's a knockout jacket.
But, like, the architect is always wearing, like, three layers, like, at all times. There's that scene where they're digging up the pile, and he's wearing a black roll neck, like a turtleneck.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, a safari shirt over it.
Well, in fairness, though, that's not, like, a long sleeve. Like, it's either a dickie or it's a short sleeve turtleneck.
Still, that's warm. You don't want your neck, like, covered in like, SoCal heat, especially not around a construction site. There's going to be, like, dust.
The bandana, like, that's more like it. Like, there's, you know, like, I think at one point when he's coming to the site, he's got, like, a chambray shirt, and then he's got a bandana tied around his neck.
Like a cravat a little bit.
Yeah. And that's a very, like, warm weather kind of...
Yeah, but this, like, he just always looks kind of warm.
What's the suit?
Yeah.
Because the suit we see him in the most, I think, is, like, a dark brown chalk stripe, double-breasted, and then he's wearing, like, four other patterns with it.
Yeah.
But it's like you look at this thing and it's substantial and you're like, how are you not on fire?
Yeah. He's got that red faced 1970s thing going on too, basically the entire episode.
Yeah.
So he kind of looks like he is sort of containing, like he's about to explode.
Yeah.
He has that, like, look to him.
Yeah. That 70s man of. I'm trying to think of if there's anything else I wanted to.
I'm excited. I'm glad we got to the end of the first season.
Yeah.
9 episodes in. How you feeling?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, are you excited
about the next thing?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next season. I was really excited that the last one on this season is directed by Falk. Like, that was a nice surprise.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it, you know? Like, it's a solid episode. It makes me excited for season 2.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. If you've made it this far in the episode somehow.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully Columbo is available for download to watch somewhere now.
Right. And it's very cheap on DVD.
That's true. It's new and used. You can get the entire season for about $50 on Amazon right now, which is not bad.
That's pretty
good.
And
I'd say it's worth that for sure.
Oh yeah.
Well, buy it. Enjoy it.
So many episodes and so much great Peter Falk work.
Mm-hmm. To be sure. Well, this has been the Columboys. Nope, this has been Columboys. Got to get that branding straight. I'm Mac.
I'm Ben.
And one more thing.
Yeah?
You want to have a candy bar?
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.